I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit nfl.com/schedule-release to learn more.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 293, episode 2 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Wednesday, June 28th, 2023.
Wow, I love that. June 28th, it's National Parchment Day for all my people cooking like it's the 70s. National Insurance Awareness Day. International Body Piercing Day, National Paul Bunyan Day, National Logistics Day, Alaska Day. You got it all. Oh, and Caps, International Caps Lock Day.
Okay. Shout out to the former president who we're going to talk about.
Paul Bunyan?
Keeps it locked. Paul Bunyan, yeah. He is big and he likes to keep his font big.
Exactly.
His letters.
Big blue locks.
My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Oh, Grimace, you got what I need. Oh, no. And it's a big cup full of cum. It's just a big cup of your cum. Oh, Grimace, you got what I need. And it's a big cup full of cum. Just a cup of your purple cum. Yeah, ravioli god on the Discord. Thank you for that one. Ravioli god. That no two words sound more like a Ghostface lyric to me.
Oh yeah.
Than ravioli god.
Ravioli god with the Gore-Tex. And you're like, what? With the Gore-Tex.
Yes. I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's going away. It doesn't feel like the Grimace cum milkshake going to stop being fun to me.
Not since TikTok fucking took this stupid joke and was like, this is what we think of the purple milkshake, and it's killing kids.
We think it's fentanyl. Very good theory.
That'd be amazing. Just cops interacting near.
Falling out.
Fentanyl.
Just walking by a McDonald's.
Oh, man.
Which they do from time to time.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cops eat junk food? I don't know. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Fats in your gym, gummies, gummies, gummies. Shout out to the Casserole Casanova with that Cranberries inspired AKA, because talking about when Iffy was telling me that like weightlifters just are cramming gummy worms.
Cramming gummies. Mid-set. Yeah.
Hey, got to get that boost, man.
It just feels like they're also working jaw there. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Because there's got to be just
a mandibular exercise.
They have those. Like, why not just, if you're just trying to like pack in as much glucose as possible, just like bring a bottle of maple syrup.
Yeah.
Just squeeze that.
Oh,
take that to the dome.
Could you imagine?
But I feel like, you know, gummies are fun. And they probably get the jaw working, you know?
Yeah,
that big weightlifter jaw,
that big
RFK Jr. jaw.
Oh God, don't remind me of that cursed image.
RFK Jr. jaw.
Actually, someone, Zyking, put jailhouse tattoos on that picture of him with the shirt off.
Yeah,
then it would, and like put like and have him wearing like Lokes, Like,
so yeah, we might as well just get him fully elected president.
When people are like, yo, dude, he's a gang member. I'm voting
for him, man. All right. Well, I love doing a nice extended preamble with our guest today because I feel like he's among the most both polite in that he doesn't talk before we introduce him, but also like kind of starts squirming around, really is ready to talk. He stays ready to talk.
Yeah. He is
a hilarious and talented comedian and podcast host, one of our favorite guests. You've seen him doing stand-up on TV. You've seen him doing stand-up live in front of you, if you're very lucky, on a stage, possibly.
Why not?
And you've heard him on podcasts all across this great land we call the internet. He is one of the foremost experts on who will win an Oscar. Please welcome the brilliant, the hilarious Nick Turner!
Thank you so much. I also wanted to come out with a little ditty about Jack the Miles Gray. Hey. But, you know, I didn't really have anything.
That's all I got.
But I did think about how TikTok told me that Grimace's purple cum won't stop.
There you go. Like the TikTok song.
There you go.
Thank you, guys. And no, I'm not going to talk during the beginning. Because
I know. You're a fucking professional.
People have been listening to podcasts for a long time. And when they hear a voice of someone that has not been introduced, they turn it off.
It's jarring.
I do.
That's right.
I say, well, the guest is not respectful. Goodbye.
Yeah. Thank you.
I don't want my kid knowing this.
Don't even laugh.
I don't want my kid even like feeling the energy I'm picking up by listening to it.
I don't want people to know it's even a possibility. My son, I mean. He's only good. He doesn't know about bad things.
Right.
Pure of heart.
Yeah.
And then like
every time someone gets murdered on TV and my son, I explain to him why that person deserved it.
Right. Like they spoke before they were being introed on a podcast. You didn't see that scene before, but that's why they just got brutally stabbed right now.
including like the local news and
and every time you're just saying that person spoke before they were introduced as a guest on a podcast this movie too.
That person didn't tell daddy they loved them.
I'm gonna write a note of that. I think that's a good tip.
All right, well, Nick, we're gonna get to know you
yeah,
a little bit better in a moment.
Oh,
first, we're
going
to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. There's been a tape leak. There's been a little leak of the tape that was referenced in the indictment against Trump. We're starting to see why Jack Smith seemed so confident. The tape is just, it's truly like a comedic cutaway. Like to contrast someone being like, I didn't do that. And then there's the tape of him being like, I did it. I'm doing it right now on tape. Look at me. Like it's.
Do we know who released that?
CNN.
No,
but who got it though?
Yeah. Who got it? And also like they say he was talking to a writer. That is a question that I had. Like who's the writer he's talking to?
Well, the writers, there's two writers that he's talking to that were writing an autobiography of Mark Meadows.
Yeah, that's why they were there.
Amazing.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, the DOJ isn't, they're not interested in that. It's probably on the other side, obviously.
So in terms of like technically learning new things, I don't think we have, but it's just wonderful texture. It's kind of what you would expect.
Yeah. It's weird to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
Like in a moment where these people are like fawning over Trump as he's just talking absolute nonsense. And you can hear how people handle him. They're like, yeah, that. And he's like, right? Good.
Everyone it's really agrees? Cool, right?
All right. I can say even more now.
I bet you didn't think I was going to be this cool, did you?
No. And you're way cooler.
Energy.
It is a little insight into how people talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where it's like, probably that's how every conversation goes, where he like says something insane, possibly illegal, and then you go,
yeah.
Yes, sir. That is crazy that you're showing me this.
Yes.
Nothing else about it.
Yeah. So this is a problem.
I could have declassified this if I was still president, but now I can't. I mean, that line alone is like just super gold.
Amazing. We'll talk about the tape. We'll talk about the defenses of the tape. We'll talk about cocaine, of course. Cocaine is the hot new drug. Have you guys heard of this? Have you seen this?
I saw it at a liberal coffee shop recently. I was sitting there. Yeah.
They're melting down the plastic that they used to smuggle the cocaine. Titanic is coming to Netflix. People are acting like this was all a last-minute arrangement. It wasn't, but we'll talk about that.
They've been planning the Seagate thing or Oceangate thing for months now.
Yes. It's all been a plan. It's one of the greatest examples of buzz marketing. Speaking of buzz, Logan Paul's energy drink is trying to kill children, it would seem. It seems like it's kind of bad for you. So we'll talk about that. Yeah, like trying to kill them, it's so cool. Yeah.
So all cool of your that, kids will freeze.
Plenty more. But first, Nick Turner, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
That's first, huh?
Yeah, it doesn't need to be. We could also go overrated.
No, it's fine. I'm just surprised.
No,
I've
only done the show 900 times.
We haven't rearranged. Search history has probably been first for 1,500 episodes. Is that how many we've done?
At a minimum.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because it's last on the list of things that you send out that you're going to talk about.
Well, we like to keep you off guard so that. Yeah. Maybe you give us your real search history instead of the pretty search history you want people to believe.
So anyway, I just know that I'm angry right up top.
Off top.
The last thing that I Googled was, where does Bandit work?
Mm.
Who's Bandit? If you have a kid who's maybe just a little younger than mine.
Oh, yeah.
Or too old.
Bloy.
What's your youngest?
Bloy. Mine is 5 years old.
Okay, so he's in it. It's Bluey, But what's funny about Bluey is that they have jobs, and they have, like, dog jobs.
Oh.
And
wait, which one's Bluey? Wait, who's Bandit?
Bandit is the father. Yeah, he's the dad. He's
the Bluey of all fathers existence.
I've seen the Bluey. I've definitely seen a couple episodes. Bandit is, like, the... Okay, got it.
If you don't know, Bluey is like one of the only shows that you can watch as an adult, like a kid show. I think it's like SpongeBob, you know, where it's like the jokes are good enough, you know, and it feels good enough that adults watch it. Anyway.
Right.
It feels good. It can be like heartbreaking. It can be
heartbreaking?
Yeah. It's kind of like, I look at it as like a blueprint for how to interact with your kids. Because like the parents just yes and everything and explain everything, and they're just so nice
and so patient,
so patient.
Like they have like Zen Buddhist levels of patience with their children, and that is one of the first questions that occurs to you watching it. Is like, so the dad's just like unemployed or something? What's going on? Why is he spending an entire day?
Because the show's not about their jobs. It's about you know, how he does. So, but the both the parents have dog jobs, which I think is really funny.
Like what?
Like he's an archaeologist, meaning that he digs up bones.
That's funny. Okay.
And the mom, Chili,
shits on the sidewalk.
Is a sidewalk shitter.
Big dumps on the sidewalk.
She's a bomb sniffing dog at the airport.
No.
Yeah.
Wait, there's no,
which implies the presence
terrorism?
Of domestic and international terrorism.
But
in
they're
the
in Australia,
universe,
so
universe.
There's not as much of a worry.
Yeah. Aussie's Ike gang, who's bringing bombs into your country?
No one, right. Not with Chili on the loose.
Wait, do they ever, do they reference, like, do you ever go to work with the dad and be like, oh, he's doing this? And like, oh, this mom is, you know, sniffing up bombs and shit.
I don't know if they know she's a mom at work, you know?
Oh, wait, hold on a second.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not her only identity.
Because women at work often face extra challenges being mothers.
This is true.
And some of them have really mean bosses. And my wife actually has a very mean, mean, mean boss.
Oh, no.
At her office. And it's you.
Sounds horrible. Oh, it's me. That's right. I am pretty bad. What you see, not what you get with this podcast. This whole personality.
Classic jerk. hiding it in front of almost everybody every time you ever open up your mouth.
Yeah, it's good. I'm coming for him. I'm because I think I can squeeze a little more productivity out of them with the force of my personality, Nick.
For sure. For sure.
And my hunger for conflict. Those are the two things that drive me.
And you've started that 7-day work week for her, which she loves.
That's right. Yep. It's how the only way we'll have it. I don't think we're fully up on Bluey, or at least I don't think I've watched every episode of Bluey with my kids.
Yeah.
We don't go to work with them ever, right? Is this just lore?
No, you don't go to work with them. They just talk about it sometimes, but not enough to even know. Like, I don't know their names because they don't mention it enough. It's only if another adult they see out calls them by their first name.
Yeah. Bandit and Chili.
Yeah.
But
Some
great Australian accents. Like, the really, really makes you fond of. I guess it just makes you fond of everything that it touches.
Yo, I was reading recently they had to change an episode that hadn't aired here, just in Australia, that included fat shaming because they're very worried about everything.
And right. But it's when you're ascribing some kind of value to it that
it's bad.
It's the same thing too. I've talked about in Asian culture, because you'd be like, hey, you're bald, or like, wow, look at your pimples. Like, you know, it's like a lot of cultures don't have you just go straight to it. It's very direct. And especially when you talk about someone's looks. And I was talking about that with my wife. And I was talking about oh yeah, we do that in Japan all the time. She's like, yeah, but that's toxic. And I'm like,
right.
Oh yeah. Whoa. That's true. Ha ha. Didn't think of that.
I feel like bald shaming is still pretty common. Like in the US at the very least. Nobody's trying to speak up for the bald.
Well, I think it's because because we live in such a patriarchal society.
Yeah,
it's
no, fuck you guys.
You're talking about men. Yeah.
The only show that really talks about being bald is Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they understand that people hate bald people.
Hate
you,
the bald
fuck, Larry.
Yo, I just got on minoxidil.
Uh huh.
Oh yeah.
I started taking hair loss pills or growth or whatever, because I just got I'm not bald, but I've got enough.
You've got a good head of hair.
Got enough of a widow's peak.
You're starting to measure it. You're like,
I can notice it.
You got the calipers out and went from your eyebrow bone to your hairline, and we're like, it's past the point.
Yeah,
where I need
so specific.
That's the one where that's like a pencil holder / knife.
The compass.
Oh yeah. No, that's a compass.
Calipers pencil are like used in. Yeah, that thing is.
That's how I used it in school.
It's oh yeah, wild. That was the first weapon you could bring to school.
Yeah, was allowable in school.
But isn't the compass the ruler? Or those both called compass?
No, that's a protractor.
Protractor.
That's a protractor.
Yeah. For angles and stuff.
Yeah.
Shit.
The way you said shit, like a lot, like you just fucked up majorly with that.
You just fucked up. Hey Nick, you just fucked up big time, man. Yeah, I don't know what
just
to tell you.
I bought my kid school supplies, and I really got him the wrong thing.
you got him a compass. They generally don't give those to kids.
I got him a whole orienteering set.
Yeah. I don't know that phrase, but
that's that's where you would have a compass. That's for looking, tricking the woods. Or
Nick,
whatever.
What's something you think is overrated?
Great question.
Yes,
great question, and I'm prepared to answer that.
Okay,
I think overrated are the signs that say "smile, you're on camera."
Very.
I don't know why anyone would buy it. I don't know why anyone on earth would put that on the outside of their house, because nothing makes me angrier.
The subtext of that is hey fuckface. Like there is an implied hey fuckface in there.
Yes, it reads as a curse word. Of course. Yeah. Smile?
A dipshit.
Yeah, you think you're fucking something? You're fucking at Joe's house, you piece of shit, and I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Smile you're dead asshole. So aggressive.
It sucks. Because also, it's like, If you, I don't even think you have a camera. I think you're just saying that because you're like afraid because you don't have a camera. If you have a camera, you're secretive about it because you want to catch somebody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't, I mean, would you rather catch somebody trying to murder you or have them be dissuaded by a sign says evidence within?
Well, I think
you're like, I've been waiting for you, motherfucker.
I'm not sure if most people like breaking into your house are there to murder you.
You never know.
I mean, it is one of those things whenever you see like vandalism and stuff, like you're like, I wonder if what would happen if they had a camera.
Yeah, but in terms of if because I'd say smile, you're on camera. They're generally trying to stop people from doing a crime that's like vandalism, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, and then you're just antagonizing them in order to get them to stop, to not like kick over the potted plant as they steal your Amazon delivery or whatever, you know?
Yo, it's also extra worse in Los Angeles because like, you know, I'm trying to get on TV. And then when you come at me and you're like, smile, look, we're recording you. Like, that's what I wanted. But not like this.
Not like this, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, and then you're like knocking on the door. You're like, could I actually get the daily footage from your camera? Like, just go back over the dailies.
Yo, someone asked me for a reel, but I ain't never done nothing.
Yeah. That would be really funny to like go to the house with that sign and be like, hey, can I actually get a look of that at that footage? I just want to see like how I'm how I come across on camera.
Or you should record an audition on it and then demand that they give it because you need it for a role you're going for. Like knock on the door. Hey man, I just did an audition on your camera.
You said I was on camera.
What the fuck, man?
You were directing me? Like, and now you're asking me not to come for the...
You should, like, put on a play for those people. Just give them something to look at. Like, I always do the monologue from I Know What You Did Last Summer, where she's in the rain screaming, what are you waiting for, huh? Yeah.
We're right here. Like, coming,
but they never come out.
What a monologue.
That's great Jennifer monologue. Love Hewitt? One of the best written... monologues in the world.
That's Jennifer Love Hewitt, right? Who delivers that?
Yeah. And it was the guy, wait, wasn't that the guy who wrote Scream, who wrote Dawson's Creek?
Oh, sure. Kevin something?
Williamson?
Yeah. What a name.
The guy who wrote Dawson's Creek wrote Scream?
Yeah, he was like the hottest guy in the world.
Oh, Kevin Williamson.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's right.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Dawson's Creek. Yeah. Wow. Good.
I Know What You Did Last Summer there?
Scream.
No.
Just Scream. Like I don't.
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I feel like that was one of those things when a writer gets really hot and then they have like a team that is just churning out Kevin Williamson brand scripts. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that does.
Yeah, like James Patterson.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn, developed Vampire Diaries? This guy is fucking paid.
Yeah, he's doing very good.
Jeez.
His number of houses he owns, probably.
Yeah. About nine.
Well, if it isn't Creekside's very own Steven Spielberg.
Creekside.
Hey, Dawson. What was the name of that place?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't remember. I mean, not that I didn't watch every episode multiple times.
Just greeted each other the most. It was like they were trying to get to a word count every time they opened their mouths on that show.
That show is so backwards. I remember watching it like last year, some of it, and I was like, where are the black people? And then when they appear, it's just like so terribly handled. I was like, okay, this is something else. This creek wasn't for me. Cape Side, Massachusetts.
Cape Side.
Yep.
Well. If it isn't
Wilmington, North Carolina. Shot.
Is where it was shot, right?
Yeah. I took the tour. It's like a self tour when I was doing stand up there one weekend. And I went to all the spots on it, and I did not recognize one of them.
What are the spots even like?
It felt like a bad spot.
Yeah, it's like bars and like, you know, the pier and I don't know, these certain streets or whatever. Like, I don't know. Yeah, you're not going to Michelle's house.
Right.
Yeah. Somebody went through with a camera one day for 12 hours and got a bunch of shots of the outside of buildings that were then used to set up scenes that happened on a backlot.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick.
Oh shit,
Nick,
yeah.
over here. What is something? What's something you think is underrated, Nick?
Oh, I think I just went to Mexico. I went to Ensenada, mm-hmm. which Ensenada. Is 2 hours south on the Baja coast, south of Tijuana. Mm-hmm. And I had very expensive tacos. I had very cheap tacos. I had every type of tacos you could have. Mm. And the tortillas in these tacos, no matter where you get them, are so superior to tacos and tortillas that I get in Southern California. And you constantly hear, living in Southern California, how you got the best Mexican food in the world. Mm. But there is a disconnect, and I don't know what it is. And I don't know why I can't purchase tacos or tortillas, like, shipped up that taste as good. Mm. But I think we really got a big head based on our location and number of Mexican restaurants that our food is somehow comparable to that of Mexican food, and it isn't. And I also need recommendations on where to get tortillas that taste like that in Los Angeles, because somebody must be shipping them.
Right.
Best tortillas I've ever had in Southern California are Sonora Town, FYI.
Yeah, I've had Sonora Town. That's good. But can you buy? Yeah, you can probably buy tortillas from them.
Maybe. They seem cool.
Like Guisados has great tortillas, but I've been told Cookbook. Got to go to Cookbook. Okay. I haven't been yet.
Okay.
It is a thing where we have like shipped contain. There are trucks driving across the United States full of Brooklyn tap water to like make bagels in Los Angeles as we speak, presumably. Yeah. But they have not figured out the tortillas.
That'd be really funny, the idea of taking Mexican tap water.
Right. Bringing it.
bringing it here and just killing yourself with it.
Yeah.
I wonder, is it just like the corn or like I don't understand.
I don't know. I mean, I can't figure it out. I was baffled.
Yeah. Baffled. I mean, the one cursory search would tell you that a lot of the ingredients just lack the kind of preservatives and shit.
Oh, well,
additives.
That's boo. Yeah. That's a boo on my
end. If you were buying them. Like if you, oh, well, then we'll
I need to be kind of stable for 4 months at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this has not helped.
Yeah, well, look. Hey, we'll figure it out. Somebody let them know.
That's what we're here for. To not help.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and listen to the Trump tape.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
And we're back. CNN released audio recordings of Trump that were referenced in the indictment. And it's pretty damning. So
it is damning.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
But that's what I think makes it frustrating. You're going to listen to this tape. He's going to literally describe the crimes he's doing and his knowledge of it. And then we're still going to be pondering if he will see the inside of a jail. But anyway, here we go. This is The Trump mixtape that just dropped, courtesy of CNN.
These are bad, sick people.
That was your coup, you know, against you.
Well, it started right at the
beginning. Like when Millie's talking about, oh, you were going to try to do a coup. No, they were trying to do that before you even were sworn in.
That's right.
Trying to overthrow your election.
Well, with Millie, let me see that. I'll show you an example. He said that I wanted to attack Iran.
Okay, you're hearing him shuffle what we now know are these top secret documents. So that's the page. He goes, hand me that really quick. Because the thing they're even starting off was the idea that Mark Milley was saying that, like, you know, what the plan was for if Trump went, you know, just completely off the rails and was trying to start a war. And that's why he's like, I'm like, no, this is what is really happening. Hand me these secret documents.
They're mine.
Isn't it amazing? I have a big pile of papers. This thing just came up. Look.
Look.
This was him. They presented me this. This is off the record, but they presented me this. This was him. This was the
also what record?
Him. We looked at some. This was him. This wasn't done by me. This was him. All sorts of stuff. It's pages long. Look.
The record from the Mark whatever book?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Meadows.
Yeah.
I just found, isn't that amazing? This totally wins my case, you know.
Mm-hmm. I just love, this totally wins my case, you know.
Mm-hmm. The most damning evidence.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, that was the coup they were doing against you.
Against you the whole time. But he goes on. Yeah.
Except it is like highly confidential.
Everyone's laughing uncomfortably.
Look at this. You attack. And
Hillary would print that out all the time.
Did you hear what he just said? Look at this. It's secret. Look at this. You attack and like clearly showing you something very, very sensitive.
The staffer says Hillary would print that out all the time, you know, like shade. But it's in his fucking hand.
Right.
printed it out
already.
Yeah. She'd send it to Anthony Weiner.
A politician that she knows.
By the way, isn't that incredible?
Not a stranger. She was trying to impress who came by her restaurant.
Someone with clearance.
It's like truly he is in the like end of Raging Bull like era where he's just trying to impress whoever comes by and just be like, hey, look at this.
Right. Just a punch drunk boxer. The Anthony Weiner thing is just to be able to evoke his name because, you know, he was with Huma Abedin, her, you know, number two. Anyway, we go on.
He said he wanted to attack Iran and what? These are the papers. This was done by the military, given to me. I think we can probably, right?
I don't know. We'll have to see. Yeah, we'll have to try to figure out.
See, as president, I could have declassified it. Now what? I can't, you know, but this is
Now we have a problem.
Isn't that interesting? Oh.
Yeah,
did you say now we have a problem?
Yeah, because she's even like, yeah, maybe we could try to like she even knows like you can't. But anyway, now we have a problem. Isn't that interesting?
Wow, it's so cool. I mean, it's so. Here and I have, and you probably almost didn't believe me, but now you believe me.
No, I believe it.
It's incredible, right?
No,
hey, bring some cokes in, please.
It's so cool. I mean, it's so look, her and I. And you probably almost didn't believe me, but now you believe me.
Oh, no, I believed you. Please don't show me that again.
It's incredible, right?
And these
hey, bring
planted.
Us in some cokes.
These weren't planted. These were given to me by the Pentagon. Like, there's no, he can't argue away anything at this point.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's talking about, like, the origins of the papers he's holding them. When he's saying they, he's talking about the fucking Pentagon. It's like...
Did she say at one point, I think we have a problem now or something to that effect? Like, yeah, this is what just went down is pretty fucked up.
Yeah, it was after because, again, he's trying to say it starts off. He's like, we'll have to try to and then like declassify it. But here, you can hear it again.
I think we can probably declassify it.
We'll have to see. Yeah, we'll have to try to. Declassified.
See, as president, I could have declassified it. Now I can't, you know, but this is classified.
Now we have a problem.
Isn't that interesting?
Now we have a problem. The way it's even like laugh your way out of that.
Yo, this is how I know that the government didn't kill JFK because Trump would have told us.
They didn't tell his ass.
If they did. Things they knew. Here, we'll tell you about how to attack Iran. But
you don't just get all the secrets.
I wish.
No, I don't think so. I remember Obama being pissed at one point, or like kind of intimating that he wanted to know like the UFO secrets. Or no, Clinton, I think at one point was like, yeah, they like, if they have discovered UFOs, they're not telling me. And like seems like genuinely pissed. Like, I think they keep some stuff.
The only UFO in Clinton's administration was the cum flying around his office.
Unidentified flying
object of cum.
I was trying to orbs of cum. Yeah, I don't know.
Unidentified flying offenses.
That's fair.
Bad way. We did our best.
So, I mean, this kind of completely unravels his defense, right? Like, he claimed in a recent Fox News interview that the recording...
Unidentified flying orgasms.
There it is.
There it is.
All right, we're done here, folks. Thank you very much. Nick, where can people find you? Follow you.
Right here, baby.
But he said in the Fox News interview, like, that when he was showing documents relating to Iran, they were merely newspaper stories, magazine stories, and articles. Yeah. But on the tape, he repeatedly like brags about how the Pentagon gave him these files and they are secret. And when he was president, he could have declassified them, but now he can't. And the person he's with says, now we have a problem.
Isn't that interesting? Says,
isn't that interesting?
Bring in some Cokes, please. A little stress. I need a stress DC real quick to sip on. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's again, it's like so clear. There's so many people who are like, you know, from like Watergate historians are like, you never even had Nixon even coming close to like articulate, like short of him citing the actual like legal like code that he violated. This is pretty, you know, damning. But again,
yeah, I did hear something like you can only prosecute people for these crimes where it happened. And since this crime happened in New Jersey, I'm not sure it can be a part of the grand jury convening in Florida or the grand jury convening in D.C.
People are saying that that's where Jack Smith is leaving options, because the documents were recovered in Florida, which is why it's in the Southern District of Florida.
Yeah.
And the people are suspecting that if Judge Cannon goes all in on just mucking around and like fucking up this trial, that they have many other cards to play. So it doesn't, like, this isn't the be-all, end-all, which could potentially be about disseminating information in New Jersey. That would be the charge in New Jersey, would be the dissemination of that information.
Okay.
And that happened at Bedminster.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, there's a lot of intrigue. A lot of people are like, oh, I wonder if they just have all these sort of, you know, contingency plans in place because they know that you could get a very friendly judge or a mistrial or something.
Well, I know they
have to come back to other things.
They moved the Florida one from D.C. and then started a new D.C. one. That's like the where they got Steve Bannon coming in.
Right.
There's the January 6th one in D.C. Yeah. And then this one, they did it in Florida because there would have been potential for Trump and his legal team to argue that this actually should be tried in Florida and not D.C.
Right.
So they're just trying to basically take away as many arguments going into it. I have a feeling there's, I mean, like the January 6th thing is like, we just found out that the Secret Service just testified and gave their account of what happened. And then there's like the fake electors thing. There's like other things happening. And like, there's all still other dimensions of this documents case that,
The Secret Service too, they've got, you know, full immunity to be like, we did terrible things because he made us, because you know what, that's our job.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't say no to the guy.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? But it does go back. Like, I remember when he was running for president, there was this old New Yorker profile that like interviewed him and the guy who wrote The Art of the Deal for him. Mm-hmm. And it was like, just, you know, the point of the article is that like Donald Trump didn't really write a single part of that book. But they're like, at the very end of the article is like them just kind of summing up Donald Trump's character with this scene where he's like showing off, I think it's like Buster Douglas or like Evander Holyfield's boxing glove to the person. They're like, all he is somebody who just like takes you to his office and like shows you sports memorabilia. And then the last quote is, he's like, yeah, it's a real authentic Tyson boxing glove. He gave it to me. It's a pretty cool life, right? It's just like that. I think that just sums him up, even as president. That was all he was about, was just like getting access to neat stuff and then like showing it to people and being like, it's so cool. I mean, it's so look, her and I. Look. And you probably almost didn't believe me, but now you believe me. It's incredible, right? Like that I think that just is all he cares about ultimately, is like, and that, and also, in case you think that doesn't impress rich guys, the rich guys who he golfs with every morning and is who like kiss his ass all night, like that is Harlan Crowe, who like has a house full of fucking Nazi napkins and shit like that. Like that's all they care about.
Nazi tea set. Okay.
Nazi tea set. Yes. Yeah. But like culture. That's all they care about is like, wow, real artifacts of.
Yeah, right. It's
power.
It's a show and tell, but that's. Yeah. For ages. And I'm sure at a certain point, Trump's like, I can't afford that stuff. Then I got to be president so that I can have national secrets.
Yeah.
No one's going to top that shit. Yeah. But anyway, so we have this guy on tape describing his crimes, his intent, his knowledge of how transgressive the act is. But I'm like, this is beyond slam dunk, right? But anyway, despite how clear like the audio and like context is of this moment, the MAGA people are coming. It's all hands on deck for trying to obscure what's happening here. We'll start off with one of our favorite characters from the Trump administration, Teenage Mutant Ninja Goebbels himself, Stephen Miller.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Goebbels.
Anyway, this is what he said, quote, the security state is very skilled at psychological warfare. They're skilled at the art and artistry that's often deployed in foreign countries of how to control the narrative in our country. Don't fall for it. We have been watching them try to play us year after year after year, going all the way back to the Russia hoax. And of course, remember the Ukraine hoax? Remember the election year? Now with the Russian bounty story where Trump was letting Russia get away with putting bounties on our troops? Then it comes out later. That was a fake story.
So they found one story that didn't
pan out.
One
story from 7 years ago.
Right.
That's how they do. Okay, fine. How about this one? This is from a Trump spokesperson. Quote, the audio tape provides context, proving once again that President Trump did nothing wrong at all. The president is speaking rhetorically and also quite humorously about a very perverted individual, Anthony Weiner, who is deep inside the corrupt Clinton campaign. That's weird. The media and the Trump haters once again were all too willing to take the bait, falling for another Democrat DOJ hoax. Hook, line, and sinker.
Boom. Got him. I don't know how you win this case in court now after they made that point.
The thing that we were all talking, the only thing we talked about from this was the one Anthony Weiner reference. Right. That's the only important thing here. And I'm glad he mentioned that.
Yeah. That guy's a pervert.
And nothing else.
This exonerates him. And then, if you want to hear from the Orange Kool-Aid man himself, again, this is an all caps alert.
In honor of National All Caps Day.
Could somebody please explain to the deranged Trump-hating Jack Smith, his family, and his friends that as President of the United States, I come under the Presidential Records Act, as affirmed by the Clinton Sox case, not by this psycho's fantasy of the never-used-before Espionage Act of 1917. Quote-unquote, Smith, I know there's fucking square quotes, should be looking at Crooked Joe Biden. 2Ds, and all of the crimes that he has perpetrated on the American public, including the millions and millions of dollars he extorted from foreign countries. Anyway, so Smith, if that even is your name.
Yeah.
I don't also, know.
Also, is it just me or does Smith, like, not look like his job? He doesn't?
Yeah.
He's like the world's most competent man, but just looking at him, you're just like, I wouldn't ask that guy to watch my laptop at Starbucks.
Yeah. He's like, got a
he
bad
looks like
beard.
Dope.
Yeah. He's got a I don't know exactly what, but yeah, he just doesn't exude competence for whatever.
He looks like he snuck into this pool.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Or he just looks like not a chill guy. Like all he know, like all he talk about is like the law and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my god, dude. Like to your point, like if he was holding a baby, I feel like he would get lost in thought and like just drop it.
But he,
yeah,
Trump, like that's kind of openly threatening, right? Saying, would somebody explain to him, his family, and his friends? Like, why include his family in there?
Just because. Just to everybody. So they
let you know that he can touch anyone? Like,
I don't know. I didn't say that.
Yeah, you don't talk allegedly about a guy's family.
That's weird.
At work.
It's just
not at work, man.
That's not right. At work.
Not at work, dude. You trying to fight? Because then bring up my family at work.
That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Again, it's just him fucking flopping around right now. Because it's like, and all they can do, they're fully now, the legal defense is basically, nuh-uh.
Yeah.
But just with like fancier words, which is like, they're saying this incriminating tape actually proves his innocence. You're like, yeah. No, it fucking, on what planet?
24-hour news cycle.
Planet of the United States of America. That's the planet. The only planet that matters. Greatest planet of all time.
Yeah. Except Dr. Zaius is about to take over.
Anyways, we'll see how this goes. It seems bad for him. But,
yeah.
Well, you know, consequences seem to be like a substance that does not. It just goes away when it comes near Trump. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about how cocaine is back, baby.
All right.
Bring some cokes in, will you?
Yeah.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
And we're back. And the UN's annual World Drug Report, which I hadn't been paying attention to, but now will anticipate every year when it comes out, was released. The biggest mover this year? You guessed it, folks. It's cocaine. Rising up the charts.
Yeah,
classic.
Man. Yeah. I mean, I guess traditionally the main markets were North America, Western, Central Europe. And now in this report, they're like, it's fucking everywhere now. Like, it's people are starting to use it more in Africa, Southeast Asia, Southeastern Europe. Use is at an all-time high. Like, sometimes they would see, like, it ebb and flow. Now they're just like, it's all upward arrows. Consumption's up, production's up, and it's the 80s, baby. There's cocaine everywhere. And I guess traditionally, even though production is at an all-time high, they're also saying seizures are actually outpacing production. So, you know, mark one up for the drug war. But yeah, apparently this has only led the drug traffickers to go next level with the chemistry. Now, in my mind, the last time I was like watching drug documentaries, it was like probably about like 80s or 90s, where people were just like smuggling them in little tchotchkes and stuff, or like on a janky submarine. But they've stepped the game up. Traffickers are now, quote, increasingly smuggling cocaine base by dissolving it into plastic and charcoal objects because it's much harder to detect. Then they set up super labs in Europe where they extract the cocaine base out of those materials and turn it into powder.
I feel like this is going to be huge for Pusha T's next album. Like, he has so much material to work with.
Oh, yeah. Like hold on.
Dissolving it into
charcoal?
Plastic and charcoal objects.
Right. Scanners, x-rays, and canines usually can't detect cocaine that's been smuggled in this manner. And they said that their clandestine chemists can use certain chemicals to, quote, lock the cocaine into the carrier product, making it impossible to retrieve the drug without knowing which chemical to use.
Wow.
I was.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
This is like, Cheech and Chong made their whole van out of the weed.
Right.
Can't arrest us if it's the whole
can't
van.
Find the weed.
Nice try, asshole. This whole van's weed. Let us go. But yeah, I mean, it's, again, this is just like some next level trafficking thing I didn't realize. But yeah, I feel like the use of cocaine is, I feel like, where was I recently? I was traveling somewhere and like people were talking about cocaine in a way that I was like, what the fuck? Like in my mind, cocaine users were like city folk who like just getting off a break from, you know, the trading floor at Wall Street. And now it's in all the corners of the earth.
Yeah. The guy when you're like checking out at the gas station is like, do you want some cocaine or do you have any cocaine that I could borrow?
What?
I noticed you seem to be from the city.
Right.
So they put all, like, they got scientists working on, you know, it's Breaking Bad, and they got, like, they're spending weeks, you know, putting all the formulas together, and then they have a secret formula, you know, that turns it into a plastic bottle, and then you've got to have a secret formula that turns it back into, and then as soon as it gets into some dealer's hand, he's like, why don't I shake a little baby powder in here?
Right.
Exactly. Put a little fentanyl and like, let's see if I can just
cut
like,
it up. Some laxative. It all works.
Yeah, I get some pencil shavings.
The real question is, where do these chemists get all the energy to come up with this stuff?
Can you imagine? What's the arc of that chemist too? Okay. Like, is like a chemist who is super promising, and then it's like, I also got a bad coke problem, man. So I think I'm just gonna switch gears and start working for them.
Yeah,
I got some ideas,
leave,
man.
Merck and join my drug dealer.
Yeah,
I don't know. It makes sense overall, given like what we're dealing with. You know, given what we taught in our special interview expert episode yesterday, like what private equity is doing, where they're just like taking over every business in the country and cutting staffing so that everybody just has to work like twice as hard. It makes sense that the drug of the moment would be something that gives people the energy to keep up with this shit.
Right. We all just become like husks of a human existence. And then it's like, how about this for a little animation?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's back in a big way, folks. Big way.
Yo, you know that fentanyl is the leading cause of death for men between 18 and 49? Leading.
That's incredible. Wow. That's horrible. Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing that fucking, like, this story, like, a lot of people, I've known people who died from trying to do cocaine and there being fentanyl in it. Like, that's happening a lot now.
Yeah. So. And I think also, like, to your point about, we've talked about, like, just deaths of despair. That's, like, a whole category of death that, like, we're not actually reckoning with. And just, again, like, adding to this feeling of, oh, society's creeping into like this weird stop in a weird way. But, you know, when you look at the, like, again, I hate to keep talking about private equity, but like when you think about how much job loss and access to wealth are things that are cut off from these kinds of like business moves and the effects it has on people, especially people who like, you know, like need to work to survive, all adding to like this background hum of like, ugh.
But what about the teenagers, guys? How do the young teenagers keep up in this world if they don't have access to cocaine? How are they to keep up in this world where private equity is?
Are you pitching us a business?
Down? I am.
It's called Adderall.
Well, there's that. But what if you can't get access? There is a shortage of that. And that's where my good friend Logan Paul comes in. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you guys about Prime.
Oh, God.
Prime Hydration is a beverage that Logan Paul launched last year with KSI, another YouTuber. And it became like the Tickle Me Elmo of last year. Like it was just, there weren't enough of it. And there are reports of people having a bottle, keeping the empty bottle, and then like charging people $100 to take a picture with the empty bottle for social media purposes, because you just like couldn't get access to the drink. So dystopian for sure.
Yeah.
The drink has I have to think this is the maximum legal amount of caffeine that you can put in something. 200 milligrams of caffeine. That seems to be where every like highly caffeinated drink or product maxes out at 200 milligrams. But that is what they're giving children in like kind of small doses.
Just, I know you're the like the caffeine fact god. What? How does that rank? Because I like every time we talk about caffeinated drinks, I was like, how many milligrams? Because like you kind of have an idea. What? Like what's a cup of coffee?
Celsius is the other one that is maxed out at 200. Nothing has more than 200 as far as I know. And even like caffeine pills have 200 milligrams.
What's
like,
a Coca-Cola got?
Coca-Cola is like in the 30s, usually, I think, or 40s.
Damn.
I think Diet Coke is in the 60s. And like Mountain Dew, I don't think it even cracks 100.
Oof.
But yeah, these are.
Oh, they're saying it has twice as much as Red Bull.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's
cool. Have you seen the videos, though, where people, like, to your point about how, like, it's become the most sought after thing? Like, people are stunting on TikTok with how much fucking, like, Prime they have in their fridge.
No.
Yes. That's... like this kind of shit. People are like, well, what's in my fridge? All Prime, bro. Like
it looks like for my grab and goes for my kids, if they don't have time to make a protein drink or an electrolyte drink before they leave for their practices, for their sports they play. I like these Prime drinks because if you look at, they don't have any artificial colors. They're naturally flavored. They have BCAAs. They also have electrolytes that come from coconut water, and they only have 2 grams of sugar. But
200 milligrams of fucking caffeine. Anyway, so like I've seen so many videos like this where there's like families being like, we got the icy pop, we got cherry. And it's like you think people are doing like a money phone type thing with the amount of Prime bottles.
Yeah, this is the new money phone, is just having a fucking Prime.
So this is like, you know, you throw some vodka in there, some whiskey in there,
and you'll have partying. Heart failure.
Right. That's yeah. But that's
not
like
young people. They don't fuck with alcoholic beverages. They just
They got all the good pills. You're right.
Yeah.
They're just slamming Borgs, dude. Yeah.
God, young people laugh at us with how we try to get high.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're like, these motherfuckers are dead. Like they're trying to die. Like, look at how they partied in the fucking.
Yeah, I get high through this weird music I listen to.
Right. Like I don't get high if my headphones run out of batteries. That's when I'm in a bad way. You've got the fucking shakes.
I get high from getting my friend's pronouns right.
Thank you. Boom.
Thank you, sir. You honor us.
You're welcome. I nailed you both.
So, I mean, you are counting on teenagers to consume like one of these a day, which I just can't imagine that's going to happen. And like there's all sorts of laws in place, or like that people have tried to put laws in place. Like in 2017 in South Carolina, a teenager died due to caffeine-induced cardiac event causing a probable arrhythmia. Countries like Lithuania and Latvia already have active bans on energy drinks that have this much caffeine in them. But here in the U.S., back in 1980, the FDA attempted to crack down on caffeine and soda. But the soda companies, who you might recognize as having a little bit more money than the FDA, argued caffeine wasn't actually a psychoactive drug, and therefore subject to regulation. Rather, caffeine is a flavor enhancer. What exactly does caffeine taste like?
Yeah, like, is there some, like, a soda sommelier who's like, oh, wow, finishes very strongly with caffeine.
Mm.
Like, were they even able to say, like, it enhances this flavor? They're just saying, nah, it's in the category of flavor enhancer.
Yeah, they're just lying, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. Surge had 68, by the way.
Yeah.
Surge!
68. Yeah. Not
Surge
even.
Was shit. That's more than, this one says more than Mountain Dew.
Yeah. I think Mountain Dew has crept up into the 70s, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, this says 54, but I don't know. I just got two different numbers for Surge also, so I don't know.
It's hard to know. Yeah.
Is it Caffeine Informer? That's my go-to.
No, I'm using.
That's my website.
Google.
Google. Okay. Yeah,
it's CSPI Net. Mm.
But anyway, you have to get an annual subscription to Caffeine Informer to really know the
facts. Oh, for sure. No, I had my dad's login.
Oh, good.
But so stimulant medication with caffeine obviously has to include warnings, but energy drinks, which have far more caffeine, are somehow free to market themselves with no warnings at all, or were for a long time. I think that might be changing.
Yeah.
A Senate investigation began looking into these drinks and specifically how they market their products to teenagers like Monster and Rockstar and decided that their products were actually foods, not dietary supplements after all.
Oh, okay.
So Prime didn't originate the problem, but it's like really at the outer limits of how much caffeine you can put in a product and how much you can market yourself to teenagers.
They're doing that too. So like when kids drink it, they're like, oh, this shit is fucking hitting. You know what I mean? Because like as you have access to like Red Bull or fucking Monster and shit, but then you come through with something with twice that. Yeah. Like it feels like the intention is to also to get the consumers to talk about how this new fucking bag is just hitting.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're not getting it and just drinking one.
Right.
Like you're probably going to like try to, you know,
be stupid.
You're trying
with
to get somewhere.
Right. Trying to get somewhere, man.
I want a full personality change. I want to have a different personality after I'm done drinking.
I want to drink enough that I'm on fentanyl.
It's wild. It's like, because just yesterday, KSI and Logan Paul were in like Copenhagen promoting the drink.
Wow.
And a lot of people suspect it may have been like set up kind of marketing because a bunch of like their fans just started throwing Prime at them.
Oh, wow.
Like they were getting doused with it. And like, even on TMZ, they're like, who knows about histrionics? They're like, and it could just be a very clever way to get us talking about this because here we are, was kind of the literal, like what was written in the article. So I don't know. But yeah, it's fucking everywhere. And like Europe, it's really popular. KSI is like a huge Arsenal fan, and somehow Arsenal got him. Like there's like Prime branding around the football club. And I'm like, this is fucking bad, dude.
It truly seems like just taking a like no-dose caffeine pill and water, like but with branding added on to it.
Like, all right, tell me if you think this is real. This is them at their Prime tour, and they're getting somehow suddenly the crowd turns on them. They're getting doused, but everyone's like laughing. Like the security's even like. All right, that was a good bit. I know nothing bad is actually happening.
Yeah. You can't bring European security in on your bits. Come on.
It's hard to connect with your, like, idols. And sometimes the only thing you can do, because the distance, is just hit them with something. And then be like,
yeah.
Me and Logan Paul hung out today.
Yeah. We had a laugh.
Yeah.
We had a nice little, yeah.
Wow, people keep throwing it at them. There's like multiple things they went to. People just, I wonder if Prime just turns people into fucking animals and they're like, ah, we love it,
well,
man.
Yeah.
Let's fucking throw this
you
bottle
know anything
you.
Like you give the fans on like whatever day at the ballpark is going to end up on
thrown
the field.
It. On the field, yeah.
Yeah. Unless it's a bobblehead.
Right.
Yeah. Right, right. Because that'll end up on eBay.
Yeah. That's it's right. It's weird how like you can go to Dodger game and like, If it's a bad night, these are going on the field. Other things you're like, they're never throwing bobbleheads. They never
throw bobbleheads. Would you like a snowstorm of inflatable bats?
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of dropping your baby, I didn't recently at Dodger Stadium, but I regret it. Because I had this moment. I had a Sports Center moment and I failed.
Oh, to like catch a fly ball?
I had my baby in my arms.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The fly ball came directly towards me.
Yeah.
I put out my right hand, it hit me in the palm, and I dropped it. If I'd have had two hands, 100% catch it.
Yeah.
And you told your son that, right?
It dropped. Like, well, I will. I'm waiting until he can understand me, but I'm going to fucking ream him out. So the ball dropped, and I went for it, but some lady scooped it up beforehand. Again, I still have the kid in my arms.
Yeah. Right.
So then the lady heard my story. Kid's first baseball game.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Gave us the ball.
Gave you the ball.
But shout it's still not as good of a story as it could be.
That does, you know, that doesn't make you a man, right? Because you would have caught that shit. I don't care,
buddy. I mean, I know that's why I can't tell the story without like it being sad.
Nick is.
I'm just gonna. You just lie to your son. What about this baseball? Oh, you should have seen it.
I'm gonna tell him he caught it.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I was gonna say it would be like a hyper, like extreme Prime version of the like choose the ball or choose death. Scene from you know, you got to catch this ball, kid,
because it's public too. It didn't get on TV, but I had a friend in the stadium who saw it.
Wow.
That was in front of me that I just found out about 2 days ago.
There must have been a collective like holding of breath when people saw a foul ball speeding at you while you were holding a baby, right? Like, was there a...
It's hard to gauge. Yeah. But, like, yeah, they were all relieved when I just dropped it.
Yeah, good. Well, that's... You would have been the wrong kind of on Sports Center if you had chosen otherwise.
So, yeah, I would have made it to the real
news. I commend you. Yeah. Nick Turner, as always, such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you, follow you, experience you, all that good stuff?
You know, I don't know. I'm out there. But I did want to talk about my favorite new podcast.
Please.
The Rosie O'Donnell Show. I don't know who makes this thing. But I love it. Onward with Rosie O'Donnell. I mean, she has some of the best conversations with women that I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Also, have you heard of this show, What Else, with Joshua Topolsky?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Powerhouse shows.
I don't understand, how people make shows this good, but What Else and Onward with Rosie O'Donnell. I mean, those are two fantastic shows, and I hope you guys check them out.
I believe it's called What Future. With Josh.
What did
Topolsky.
I say?
You said what else?
Like, oh fuck.
Uh-oh. What else? What else?
Yeah, we'll
what
take else? That out.
Yeah,
we'll add in me
the
telling
right one.
Lyra, I love her. What future? That's right. What future?
What future? You were on it recently. Very
I would
good episode.
Say don't start with my episode because I did fully lose my voice in it.
But it was
it's a good moment in time. Of course, you know, the ideas are incredible. But the two of us sparring, come on.
Come on.
Class. But just two great shows, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk to America about them. I assume this is only America.
No, of course.
We don't. I mean, anybody else can listen to it, but we don't advise.
I don't know how you'd access it outside of America.
Yeah. It's smuggled. Yeah. It's baked into.
They smuggle it in.
into chocolate and plastic, and then you.
Hey, you got that new Daily Zeitgeist? Yeah. Man, this is a plastic bucket, dude. all right.
That's what you think, dude. It is really interesting. Like, that is one of the cooler scientific things. Like, if somebody delivered anything to me by dissolving like a pair of sunglasses that it was like locked inside of with a like chemical signature, I would be like, kudos to you, friend. You are at the forefront of something.
If anything, it just makes you root for the drug dealers. You're like, wow, that's cool.
Man, that's really cool,
oh,
man.
Wow. Thanks, narco traffickers.
I do have to root against Bluey's mom on this one.
Oh, for sure.
She's out of the fucking job.
Yeah, that's right.
When that shipment comes in, oh my God.
You know how much, she's probably just taking it home. Like,
that's how Bluey's dad has all the energy.
Yeah. I got
so
my
calm.
Weed stolen by, or at valet once. I was fucking, there's nothing you can do about it.
It's too loud. You should have sealed it up. Was your car just stinking like a dead body?
I mean, I don't know.
Or was it just, they just looked,
it was just in the middle
console?
Of whatever. The console, You know, they just check them all.
Yeah.
They're like, no one ever comes back and asks where they're illegal drugs. This is before it was legal.
Yeah. This is why you have to label everything fentanyl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to put them off a bit.
Ooh, got fent.
I say it's prime.
Then someone fucking calls the CPS on you. They're like, this guy's got a kid and he's got a bunch of prime in his car.
I keep my weed in my prime container because those things are worth thousands, and so that's a different charge.
That's right.
Right.
Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Oh fuck yeah, the other two.
I keep telling everybody
about this. It's the best show on television right now.
Season
I mean, at least
three.
The funniest.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Season three is, I mean, it's the best season they've had. And just like every episode, like they genre shift.
Yeah.
Like it's like kind of a mess, but it's like, but they're just so fucking smart.
Yeah.
And it's so funny.
I didn't love
this
season for the first two episodes. And then I like watched seven in a row and was like, oh, this is incredible. But for some reason, like this, because we watched like season two right into season three, and there is like a tonal shift, and I was like, it's kind of got weird, but it's incredible.
I think the appeal is like, you can just tell, like they just get to indulge all their fucking fun ideas in that writer's room, like without anyone being like, I don't know about that. They're like, no, fuck this, we're doing a full-on genre episode.
I heard Zaslav got really involved in the writer's room and has really made things sing.
I heard the ghostwriters for the new Mark Meadows biography got in there, and they had some secret stuff, some secret Hollywood info.
Miles, where can people find you? What is Work of Media you've been enjoying?
At Miles of Gray, wherever you got at symbols to find people. Find Jack and I on our basketball podcast. Miles and Jack got Mad Boosties. We'll be in Vegas next weekend for NBA Con, doing a couple live shows. So if you're around, come check that out. And if you want to hear me talk about 90 Day Fiancé and other trash reality, check Sophie Alexander and I out on 420 Day Fiancé. Two tweets I like. First one is they're both from At The Onion. First one is, note from Shein worker hidden in order states how much he loves doing sweatshop labor. kind of how like those terrible propaganda videos look. And then another one from At The Onion, police warn of new scam of vulnerable people being in need.
So you gotta watch out for
spot
that.
Spot on. They're gonna say they need stuff, but be careful. They do.
All right. A tweet I've been enjoying at Eric's Shadow tweeted just a day of their daily diet. And this resonated with me. So 8 a.m. egg white omelet, no cheese. 12 p.m. one apple, one banana, one yogurt. 6 p.m. chicken Caesar salad, parentheses light dressing. 8 p.m. small frozen yogurt. 8:30 p.m. a few hard pretzels. 8:45 p.m. two Oreos. 8:50 p.m. four Oreos. 8:53 p.m. eight Oreos. 9 p.m. grilled cheese. 9:30 p.m. Pizza Hut.
Just Pizza Hut.
My willpower just drains throughout the day, and by the end of the day, I am Big Mac-ing eight Oreos on top of each other.
Yeah,
that's good.
Slippery slope.
It's good for you. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Let's go out from a track, Inglewood native, Amindi, A-M-I-N-D-I, and this is her track Greenhouse. It's great, like R&B, new R&B artist, young artist out of Inglewood, California, so we're always going to represent West. But yeah, Greenhouse, Amindi, check it out.
Play it for your plants.
Yeah.
Let them grow.
Absolutely.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning, but we are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending.
Oh, yeah.
And hey, we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.